Nayarada Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jai Om Vishnu Pada Paramahamsa Parijakacharya Stota Sota Sri Srimadis Divine Grace A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Jai Om Vishnu Pada Paramahamsa Parijakacharya Stota Sota Sri Srimadis Divine Grace Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. Nitai Gaur Prem Nandi. All glories to some of the devotees. All glories to some of the devotees. All glories to some of the devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Takshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadatisva Padantikam Vandeyam Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namoshite Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakaupa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadara Srivasade Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Jai Hare Krishna. Be reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Text 10 through 16. So I'm going to start reading text 10, 10 to 14, all right, I'll just start with text 10, and then we'll repeat text 11 together. So here's text 10. Api sarve kulashinas tava putra manashini lakshaye swasam atmanam bhavatya lakshaneraham. Translation. O great-minded lady, are all your sons faring well? Seeing your withered face, I can perceive that your mind is not tranquil. How is this so? Alright. Text 11. Sri Aditya Uvacha Bhadram Dujagavam Brahman Dharmasya Sya Janasya Cha Jivargasya Param Shecham Griha Medhim Griha Ime Sri Aditya Uvacha Padram Dvijagavam Brahman Dharmasya Sya Janasya Cha Chivargasya Param Chetram Griha Medhim Griha Ime Sri Aditya Uvacha Padram Dvijagavam Brahman Dharmasyasya Janasya Cha Chivargasya Param Chetram Griha Medhin Griha Ime. Please chant. Dharmasyasya janasya cha Jivargasya param chetram Grima medim grihaime Sri Aditya uvacha Padram vijagavan brahman Aditya Uvacha Shrimati Aditi said, Padram, all auspiciousness, Dvijagavam, of the Brahmanas and the cows, Brahman, O Brahmana, Dharmasya Asya, of the religious principles mentioned in Shastras. Janasya, of the people in general. Cha, and. Trivargasya, of the three processes of elevation. Dharma, Artha, and Kama. Param, the supreme. Kshetram, field. Griha Medhin, O my husband, who are attached to household life. Griha, your home. Ime, all these things. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Aditi said, O my respected Brahmana husband, all is well with the Brahmanas, the cows, religion, and the welfare of other people. O master of the house, the three principles of Dharma, Artha, and Kama flourish in household life, which is consequently full of good fortune. Purport. In household life, one can develop the three principles of religion, the three principles of religion, economic development, and sense gratification, according to the regulations given in the Shastras. But to attain liberation, one must give up household life and place himself in the transcendental renounced order. Kashyapa Muni was not in the renounced order of life. Therefore, he is addressed here once as Brahman and another time as Griha Medin. Aditi, his wife, assured him that as far as household life was concerned, everything was going nicely, and the brahmanas and cows were being honored and protected. In other words, there were no disturbances. Household life was duly progressing. Text 12. Agnasya tittayo britya bhikshavo ye chalipshava sarvam bhagavato brahman anudyanan narishyati. Translation. O beloved husband, the fires, guests, servants, and beggars are all being properly cared for by me. Because I always think of you, there is no possibility that any of the religious principles will be neglected. Text 13. Konu me bhagavan kamo na sampadyeta manasaha yasya bhavan prajadyaksha evam dharman prabhashate. Translation. O my Lord, since you are a Prajapati and are personally my instructor in the principles of religion, where is the possibility that all my desires will not be fulfilled? Text 14. Tvaiva maricha manasari raja Praja ima sattva rajastamo jusa samo bhavam stasvasuradishu prabho tatapi bhaktam bhajate maheshvara. Translation. O Sana Marichi, because you are a great personality, you are equal toward all the demons and demigods who are both born either from your body or from your mind, and you possess one or another of the three qualities, sattva-gun, raja-gun, and tamagun. But although the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Controller, is equal toward all living entities, he is especially favorable to the devotees. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita 9:29, the Lord says, Samoham sarva-bhuteshu na me dveshyo stinapriyaha ye bhajanti tumam bhaktya mayi te teshu kapyaham. Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead is equal towards everyone, he is especially inclined toward those who engage in his devotional service. The Lord says, Kunteya pratijanihi na me bhakta pranashyati. My dear son of Kunti, please declare that my devotee will never be vanquished. Elsewhere, Krishna also says, Ye yata mam prapadyante tam sataiva bhajamyam Vama Vartmanu Vartante Manusha Partha Sarvashaha, Bhagavad Gita 4:11. Actually, everyone is trying to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead in various ways, but according to their methods of approach, the Supreme Lord endows them with different benedictions. Thus, Aditi appealed to her husband by saying that since even the Supreme Controller favors his devotees, and since Indra, Kasyapa's devoted son, was in difficulty, Kasyapa should bestow his favor upon Indra. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutvesh. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutvesh. Shrimad Bhaktivedanta Swami Nityananda. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini. Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Bhashyata Vishatarini. Alright, so I'll try to expand on these verses with the blessings of all the assembled devotees. So, Diti is responding or replying to her husband's inquiry, Kasyapa Muni, just giving a little background to the verses. In the introduction, it said that Kasyapa Muni came out of a trance of meditation, and he came to the ashram where Aditi was lamenting due to, as we heard in the previous chapter, that Bali Maharaj came out swinging at the heavenly planets, and they, Indra and the rest of the demigods left without a fight. And so this is why Aditi is in the state that is explained in the first text that I read, 8:16:10. Seeing your withered face, I can perceive that your mind is not tranquil. That's the sign that Aditi is in distress. Her face is withered. So Aditi replies that she didn't miss any, she didn't make any mistakes in her duty. She didn't neglect anything, and no guests were neglected, and she continued the oblations of the fire. This is what Kasyapa Muni said, inquired whether she had done. But the real reason she's lamenting is because of her affection for her sons and their distressed condition. So that's her response. That's the bulk of these verses. her response is that, no, she performed her duty perfectly, but still she's feeling this way. So then, and then in text 12, she starts to glorify her husband. She glorifies her husband as the Prajapati, and she compares him even to the Supreme Personality of Godhead for being equal toward all living entities, all demons and demigods. And she's doing this, as Prabhupada explains in the purport to text 14. That so she's saying this so Kashyapa will bestow his favor upon Indra and restore the situation. So I prepared for text 15 and 16, so kind of some of my punchlines were for those verses, but I'll try not to interfere with it, but kind of that's what I prepared for. So please forgive me, who's ever giving the class tomorrow. I might say a few things about it regarding the next verses. So basically, this is the same situation of Bhagavad Gita, lamentation for family, which is basically regarding the first instruction that that Krishna says to Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita. So Aditi is lamenting for her family members, and then she's asking her husband to help restore it, right? So him being a great sage, you know, what is he going to do? You know, he's probably not going to try to fight the demons. He rather instructs her how to deal with it on a transcendental platform. That's the name of the chapter where he instructs her how to go about this Payavrata process of worship and gain the favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is the same message of the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna is telling Arjuna not to lament for family, but rather engage in the service of the Lord. So, I'm not exactly realized on this subject, so I was thinking that I can just read from the Bhagavad Gita, just the four verses, 2:11 through 2:14, regarding Krishna's first instructions to Arjuna on the battlefield, when he is also lamenting, like Aditi is lamenting. So, you guys, I'm gonna say the Sanskrit. If everyone wants to chant along, please feel free. So, starting with 2:11. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Asochananva Sochastvam Pragavadam Stravasase Gatasun Nagatasunscha Nanu Sochanti Pandita Natvevaham Jatu Nasham Natvam Name Janadipa Nachaiva Navavishama Sarvevayam Mataparam Dehino smin yata dehe, kumaram yovanam jara, tata dehantara praptir, diras tatra namuyati, machasparsha stukunteya, sitoshna sukadukada, agama paino nityas, tam sitiksha sabarita. So, English translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, while speaking learned words, you are mourning for what is not worthy of grief. Those who are wise lament neither for the living nor for the dead. Never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. As the embodied soul continuously passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at death. A sober person is not bewildered by such a change. O son of Kunti, the non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress and their disappearance in due course are like the appearance and disappearance of winter and summer seasons. They arise from sense perception, O scion of Bharata, and one must learn to tolerate them without being disturbed. So I find this to be the foundation of our spiritual life. These four texts were the first verses that I've started to memorize, and I find that repeating them brings me back whenever things get too over my head. It brings me back to a place where I can make progress, like thinking, okay, like I'm mourning for what is not worthy of grief. I'm an eternal spirit soul. I'm changing bodies, and after this body, I will change into another body. And also, this world is constantly changing between happiness and distress. And we have to learn how to tolerate that. So I find these four verses, the first instruction of Bhagavad Gita, to be extremely helpful whenever anything is going wrong or if I get overwhelmed. It's like going back to the basics and then building from there. Because the philosophy and the practice of Krishna consciousness can definitely go over my head a lot of times, and I get overwhelmed sometimes, like Arjuna or Aditi. So I find these four verses especially are powerful for bringing me back to a steady state of mind. So I thought I would share that with you. So instead of trying to fix all the problems, rather we should develop the transcendental perspective and engage in devotional service. That's generally the message that I take from this. The demons are attacking the heavenly planets, and her sons are distressed, or her sons have been forced to leave, and she is completely distressed. And we're also in a pretty similar situation in Kali Yuga, where if we look outside, basically the demons have taken over from, you know, just outside and inside as well. We're basically on attack all the time, just within our minds. Basically, always being attacked by demonic tendencies. At least I can speak for myself, not for everyone. The atmosphere in Chicago is quite something. So we have to constantly remember the transcendental platform. Go back to the instructions of Krishna and the instructions of the Srimad Bhagavatam, like Kashyapa Muni is about to give a nice message to Aditi of how to overcome her false lamentation for family, which is a big thing that we all probably go through. I also was thinking in connection to this verse to relate it to Queen Kunti's prayers from the first canto. She prays after all the things that she went through, different calamities, and says here, "My dear Krishna, your lordship has protected us from a poisoned cake, from a great fire, from cannibals, from the vicious assembly, from suffering during our exile in the forest, and from the battle where great generals fought, and now you have saved us from the weapons of Ashvatthama. I wish that all those calamities would happen again and again, so that we could see you again and again, for seeing you means that we will no longer see repeated birth and death." So there's quite a big difference between the consciousness of Queen Kunti and Aditi. Aditi is asking her husband to fix the problem and fix the material problem and bring her sons back to the heavenly planets. whereas Queen Kunti is asking for the calamities to happen again and again. Because she knows these material calamities put her in a position where she takes shelter of Krishna, and then when she takes shelter of Krishna, then there's no longer repeated birth and death. So this is a very powerful prayer. I've heard it said many times that it's such a powerful prayer that many times devotees are afraid to repeat it, because that's very well will happen with the calamities will come. Also, I've heard it said that in Kali Yuga we don't have to pray for calamities because calamities are everywhere, as I was already describing. Like, I have a calamity in my mind every like 10 minutes. So I don't probably shouldn't pray for any more. It says further, "My Lord, your Lordship can be easily be approached, but only by those who are materially exhausted. One who is on the path of material progress, trying to improve himself with respectable parentage, great opulence, high education, and bodily beauty, cannot approach you with sincere feelings." Right? So for the next couple of verses that I prepared for, Aditi is saying that she's lost these things that Queen Kunti is saying. She said that we lost our great home, our beauty, our opulence was lost. But Kunti is saying someone who has these things cannot approach you with sincere feelings. So actually, it's probably a blessing. I'm not super familiar with the pastime of what comes in the future for Aditi after she performs this vrata. But probably it's a benediction that these things went on. So then she can actually approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead with sincere feelings, as Kunti is explaining. So this leads me to another point of our situation in Kali Yuga. We have a lot of calamities going on. And basically, it's actually the greatest fortune. If we can get this understanding down from Queen Kunti, if we understand that these calamities that we're experiencing in Kali Yuga, like our minds being disturbed and things short-lived, the society is basically collapsing at every moment. Like the politicians are just like a joke, basically. Like all this is going on, they're destroying the planet, so many bad things. I mean, like Subal made a presentation about this with taking shelter of the holy name. So many bad things, like literally fighting at every step. But these are actually forcing us, all these problems are forcing us to take shelter of Krishna sincerely. I probably wouldn't be taking shelter of Krishna very sincerely if the world wasn't so messed up. I have so many material desires, but since the world is so messed up, it's like, where am I supposed to go out there and like do anything? Like, it's like everything's a mess. So this situation is very like perfect for taking shelter of Krishna. It's actually a great benediction. And that's what's stated in the 11th canto. Another point. So this is like pretty much my favorite verse from the 11th canto, chapter 5, verse 36. Kalim sabha jayantyarya guna gyasara bhaginaha yatra sankirtane naiva sarva svarto bilabhyate. Translation: those who are actually advanced in knowledge are able to appreciate the essential value of this age of Kali. Such enlightened persons worship Kali Yuga because in this fallen age, all perfection of life can easily be achieved by the performance of Sankirtan. Enlightened persons worship Kali Yuga because in this fallen age, all perfection of life can easily be achieved by the performance of Sankirtan. So in the purport, Prabhupada says further, it is stated here that among the four ages, Satya, Treta, Dwarpa, and Kali, Kali Yuga is actually the best. Because in this age, the Lord mercifully distributes the highest perfection of consciousness, namely Krishna consciousness, very freely. The word Arya has been defined by Srila Prabhupada as one who is advancing spiritually. The nature of an advanced person is to search for the essence of life. For example, the essence of the material body is not the body itself, but the spirit soul that is within the body. Therefore, an intelligent person gives more attention to the eternal spirit soul than to the temporary body. Similarly, although Kali Yuga is considered to be an ocean of contamination, there is also an ocean of good fortune in Kali Yuga, namely the Sankirtan movement. In other words, all the degraded qualities of this age are completely counteracted by the process of chanting the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Jai. Thus it is stated in the Vedic language, Dhyan Krite Yajan Yagyas, Tretayam Dvapare Richayan. Yad apnoti tad apnoti kalau sankirtya keshavam. Whatever is achieved in Satya Yuga by meditation, in Treta Yuga by offering ritual sacrifices, and in Dwarpa by temple worship, is achieved in Kali Yuga by chanting the names of Lord Keshava congregationally. So what should we be doing in Kali Yuga? Yeah? Is this clear? Another part of this purport says, the last part, thus love of Krishna and entrance into Krishna's planet in the spiritual sky is the most supremely perfect and exalted status of life available anywhere, at any time, throughout the totality of existence. That perfection is available in Kali Yuga simply by chanting the holy names of God. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Therefore, every sane man, woman, or child should deeply understand the unprecedented opportunity offered by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and seriously take up this chanting process. Only the most unfortunate and irrational person will neglect this transcendental opportunity. Gaurahari Ki. So this is the perfect opportunity. Just by chanting Hare Krishna, mercy of Lord Chaitanya, we can go to the highest level just by chanting Hare Krishna. It's basically like a perfect storm. It's like everything is chaos in the world, and then we got Lord Chaitanya's mercy. It's like, Vaisheshika Prabhu says, it's like, you're poor your whole entire life, like, just absolutely broke, no money, and then you find $1 million in your pocket. It's like this, changing this perspective that Kali Yuga is actually the best Yuga. This is actually the best Yuga. Who realizes that this is the best Yuga? This is, out of all four Yugas, this is the best Yuga. Because we can quickly achieve the highest perfection by Sankirtan. So Satya Yuga, it's like you have all this life in meditation and the rivers are clean, you know. When was the last time anyone of us saw a clean river? It's a mess. And like, they meditate for thousands of years, very, very peaceful. That's the best yuga, right? It sounds very nice. But no, that's actually the worst one, because it's you have such long time that you're like, yeah, this is okay. Material life is quite fine. Kali Yuga, one lifetime, short lifetime, who knows like how long we'll live in the future with the foods that we're eating these days. Like, probably the lifespan will start to decrease pretty shortly here. But in this time, it doesn't even matter what we eat. If we chant, it doesn't matter how healthy we are. If we just get absorbed in Sankirtan, we leave our bodies short quickly and then go back to Godhead, because we're doing the Sankirtan Yajna. So it doesn't matter if we focus on health or this or that. We just, as long as we're doing more Sankirtan, it really doesn't matter anything else. I mean, we can't be Ayurvedic in these ages. Like, I mean, that doesn't mean we don't try to be healthy so we live longer, but in general, we should be focusing more on simply the performance of Sankirtan, which means sitting down and chanting together more often. You know, every day, at least for a couple hours, we should be doing it in the temple room. I shouldn't be instructing everyone, but this is my opinion. This is what we're supposed to be doing. This is the yajna of this age. So I think we're on our way towards that. I'm sure we'll make improvements as a temple, like we're doing with a lot of different aspects of the temple. So I look forward to that. That's pretty much all I have to say. I would appreciate maybe anyone else can add something, add any reflections or comments. I guess you can ask a question too, but if you'd like.
I heard a pastime of Lord Chaitanya that relates to this. Sahipish, thank you for the class, Prabhu, the transcendental class. Radhanath Swami, in a lecture, he mentioned that beings from all different planetary systems, higher and lower, used to come to Earth and disguise themselves as humans to see Lord Chaitanya and participate in the Sankirtan Yajna. Bewildering.
Thank you for sharing. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki Jai.
Hare Krishna, thank you for your class. And the purport that you, let's see which, in verse 14, it says, and I'll relate this to your class even though you didn't prepare for this particular verse. Prabhupada quotes, and his mic is pretty loud. Prabhupada quotes Gita 4:11, Ye yata mam prabandhate tam sataiva bhajami aham. According to how you surrender to me, Krishna says, you know, I reciprocate. So it appears that could be kind of detrimental to our Krishna consciousness, because in this verse it also says that Krishna is favorable to the devotees. And naturally, if we think we're devotees, Krishna fulfill my every wish, I should expect things to go my way, Krishna says in this verse in the Gita. So my question or kind of comment, maybe you could expand on some of these points, is that just like today you were thrown a curveball. I'll kind of use a sports, analogy. He likes a sports analogy. And on baseball, the baseball players never expect things to go their way. They don't expect the pitcher to throw all good pitches. There's curveballs, knuckleballs, sliders, fastballs. And kind of that's our situation in life. It doesn't matter who we are, is that, you know, life throws us curveballs just like it threw you a curveball. You didn't expect to do this verse today, and you were pretty shot. And so in our Krishna consciousness life, you know, we hear that, you know, devotees are so loving, kind, and respectful. That's true. But also, you know, we also have our anarthas. So in our spiritual life, is it detrimental to, I feel like that's why there's a lot of conflict, because Like you were mentioning Queen Kunzi, she said, let nothing go my way. And if nothing goes your way, then you won't expect anything good. Whereas on the other hand, Hirani Kashipu said, let everything go my way. And and then, you know, it went his way for some time. He had control over most of the universe, or at least he thought he did. Krishna let him think he did. Just like he lets us think we're in control too sometimes. But when one thing didn't go his way, you know, he committed apparat, he tried to kill Prahlad, and then he ruined his Krishna consciousness. So how detrimental is it for our Krishna consciousness to think we're God by expecting things to go our way? You know, we expect devotees to treat us well. We expect all circumstances. So my question is, it seems like we devotees preach this all the time, you know. You know, Krishna's so kind, he's so merciful. Yes, that's true, but he also has two sides of his mercy, the, you know, strict parent side and the loving mother side. So, but it seems like we always expect the loving mother side. So how do we develop this consciousness not to expect, you know, everything to go our way, because then we can become more demoniac. So can you expand on those points a little bit?
We should basically accept that nothing is going to go our way. I mean, at least materially. Like the verse is saying, Kali Yuga is full of faults. We should try to accept that and try to serve nicely by doing the Sankirtan Yoga. And nothing's going to go our way. We'll never get anything good out of this world, in this life. Like, the world is totally down. So we can try our best to facilitate the Sankirtan Yajna, but not expecting anything materially to be very nice. That's about all I have to say. I appreciate your question, and I'll say, anything else?
I have a couple of comments. One is, well, also in relationship to some of the ideas that you presented, that especially was very powerful, quoting that Kali Yuga is the best of all the four yugas. And I was just noticing that Aditi addresses Kashyapa Muni as a Grihamedi. which is...
Yeah, they both called each other Grihamedis.
Which is tells something about the standard, or, you know, how things were organized, you know, in perfect times. And the reason, Prabhupada explains the reason, which was that he hasn't gone to the next stage of renouncing the family life. So because he was still coming back to his ashram and his wife and things like that, and was, you know, taking care, then he was addressed as a Grihamedi. And it sounds, you know, contradictory when you say that, okay, he's coming back to his ashram. So you assume if he's an ashram, he should be a grihasta, not a grihamedi. You know, according to the definition that we have of grihamedi, that Sukadeva Goswami gave to Maharaj Pariksit of a grihamedi and a grihasta. So Sukadeva Goswami was in the second canto. It was during the time of Maharaj Pariksit, which is already Kali Yuga. So it seems that, you know, things were more broad, you know, in previous ages like that. So some observation. I don't have, you know, I can only speculate a little bit or try to understand. But both of them, Kasyapa Muni addresses Aditi as a Grihamedi, and Aditi addresses Kasyapa Muni as a Grihamedi. You know, oh, my wife, my dear wife, who is attached to material, to home life or to family life, and then she goes back and say, oh, my husband, Brahmana, who is attached to home life, you know. So it's quite something. So that's an observation. And one thing in relationship of Jai Jagannath, Jai Baladev question is, in one sense, you know, whatever positive or negative, well, not, I won't say positive and negative, but whatever, when things go our way or things go not our way, Krishna will allow that as long as it works, you know, for our benefit, for our advancement in Krishna consciousness. So sometimes he gives facility to the devotees. I mean, many times he gives facility to the devotees. And to some devotee, he may give the facility, and to another devotee, he won't give that facility. And sometimes, you know, a devotee have to go to so many obstacles. Things goes completely out of, you know, not in their way. Their way, sometimes devotees will go, everything will go like that. And it all depends on how that Krishna is providing will be helping the devotee come closer to him. So Krishna will give or will take according to that. That's a realization I can share.
Yeah, thank you for expanding on that. I definitely didn't answer it thoroughly. I just wanted to say that it's interesting that Prabhupada, in the translation, when to the Grihamedi, he says, "O master of the house." He doesn't say anything about being attached. He says, "The master of the house." I guess this is probably because, I guess there's a little bit of a philosophical speculation, but because he's probably Kashyapa Muni, he's a great soul, he's a Prajapati, so to call him attached might not be the best idea.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, but the translation is Prabhupada translated.
Here, a thing has to be noted. Why didn't he tell Gruhastha? Because what is it? Why did he say Grihamedi? That's a point to discuss. So although Kasyapa Muni is such a liberated soul, you know, and definitely he is not attached to the family life, or just like a henpeck, Prabhupada says, henpeck husband. But still, I don't want to speculate, but I think just to please Kasyapa Muni about the relationship between Kasyapa and Aditi, particularly she used the word Grihamedi just to give more focus on her request.
That's a nice point, because she's later asking him to do something about this situation, to fix the problem. She's kind of like saying, you're attached to this household too, so you should do something about it. There's something along those lines. Kind of invoking his attachment so he'll fix the problem. That could be. Anything else? No? Alright. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Sankirtan.